All right, the recorder.
All right, well, let's call tonight's meeting of the Planning Commission to order. It's Thursday, February 27th, 2020. We'll start with roll call. This is Planning Commission Chair Tao speaking. We'll just go around the room.
Heather Bush is here.
Jane Bowers.
Judy Malenko. Susan Torreson.
And Michael Tardisio.
All right, Commissioners Greenberg and Moe are absent tonight. These are planned absences, so if I could get a motion excusing Commissioners Greenberg and Moe from tonight's meeting.
A motion to excuse.
In a second, is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Commissioners Greenberg and Moe are excused. Next item is approval of the minutes of the February 13th Planning Commission meeting. I assume everybody's had a chance to review the minutes. This was a meeting I was not at. So for those that were in attendance, is there a motion to approve the minutes from February 13th?
I'll motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. I'll second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Bowers, seconded by Commissioner Blanco. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I'm abstaining since I wasn't here, so the minutes are approved. We now have an opportunity each Planning Commission meeting for public comment. I don't see any members of the public tonight, so we'll skip over that and move on to approval of tonight's Planning Commission agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda for this evening?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Motion to approve tonight's agenda by Commissioner Bowers, seconded by Commissioner Bush. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed. Tonight's agenda is approved. And the next item is fairly new procedurally for us. I think the last meeting may have been the first time we actually had a consent agenda. So the purpose of a consent agenda is to take items that have been previously discussed, but for whatever reason, either some further edits were made, comments to be included, a final version of the ordinance or the document that was being reviewed wasn't available. So it's an opportunity to incorporate all of the comments from the meeting, place it on the consent calendar, where unless there's further discussion required, in which case we would remove it from the consent and calendar and add it to the agenda and discuss it in more detail. Otherwise, it's assumed it's all ready to go, and it gives us an opportunity to take final action on the whatever the document is in its final form. So what would be in order is a motion to approve tonight's consent calendar items, which are all items that have been previously discussed at a commission meeting. Is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll motion to approve all consent agenda items.
Okay, and a second. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so motion to approve the consent agenda by Commissioner Bowers, seconded by Commissioner Bush. Is there any items that a commissioner would like to remove from the consent agenda for discussion later on? Not all in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
And I am going to abstain because there were items that I wasn't present for the conversation, but the motion has passed unanimously. So the consent agenda is approved. The next item is amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.40, exterior lighting standards. We are scheduled for a public hearing tonight. Mike, do you have a presentation to start things off and then take it to public hearing at that point? Okay.
So I introduced this at the last Planning Commission meeting. I think Susan, you weren't there, so to give just kind of a summary of what this is about. Over time, as we've reviewed lighting proposals for developments, we've found some problems that we felt should be addressed. The principal one is that our existing lighting regulations are just rather complicated. There's lighting requirements at ground level, there's lighting requirements. permits 4 feet above ground level. Somewhat complicated lighting plans and more requirements, and so what we've done is tried to eliminate what we thought was really redundant and unnecessary in the things that didn't actually address impacts to others. The principal purpose of the lighting regulations is to protect our dark night skies and to protect against glare to adjacent properties. If there are regulations in here that we felt didn't achieve those objectives, our aim was to get rid of those, to simplify, to streamline, to make it easier for staff to review and for applicants to submit for. So that was one of the key principal issues. And then there were also some issues of impact that we felt weren't sufficiently addressed. So on buildings, we required full cutoff for a while. Parking lot lighting, the lights out in the parking lot have to be full cutoff, which means the bulb has to be within the light receptacle, not hanging down below with a kind of a bulb, which causes glare. However, that wasn't required in building mounted lighting. So this clarifies that also applies to building mounted, so you can't have something that just aims straight out. We also addressed that with the direction of the lighting. So we've had experiences in the past where applicants have submitted a full cutoff light, but then tilted it up, which totally obliterates the purpose of the full cutoff. And so we've added some illustrations about what is appropriate direction and full cutoff fixtures. One of the other primary issues was light temperature relating to glare. The blue-white light that you see much more often these days with a lot of the LED fixtures is harsher on the eyes, and there's been a number of studies that show it's detrimental to human sleep, and then also a lot with wildlife migratory patterns. The yellow light, the softer, lower temperature spectrum lighting, doesn't seem to have those same impacts. So consistent with the International Dark Sky Association recommendation and with what a lot of other cities are doing, we've limited the light temperature to a maximum of 3,000 Kelvin. If you look at the parking lot lights out here, these are 3,000 Kelvin lights, and they do have a little bit of a softer look than some of the other LEDs. Some other minor things, clarification about canopy lighting. So canopy lighting, it was previously in a section that said canopy lighting and lighting service stations, which kind of gave the impression that that just applied when you're dealing with service stations. So we changed the language on that a little bit to make it more clear. And then again, simplify the parking lot lighting maximum and minimum foot candle measurements, getting rid of the one that's 5 foot above the pavement, because we felt like that was just really not necessary. And then also got rid of the minimum foot candle on the pavement. We felt that if somebody doesn't want to provide that level of lighting, we'll leave that up to the market and the property owner to decide. We're just talking about maximums to, again, avoid the impacts to adjacent property owners and dark skies. So,
I read this, but I don't remember. Is there a certain number that they have to have at the parking lot in order to provide correct amount of coverage? Or is, like, do you have a number, like, you can only have this per square foot, that kind of thing?
No, we just provided the maximum that's allowed. And then,
is that a where's that at? Which one is that?
There are other standards in other provisions of our code, like in our design standards, that say entrances have to be lit in walkways, ADA requirements, and so forth.
Okay.
Beyond that, this is not prescribing that you are required to provide a minimum light level throughout the site.
Okay. But the maximum is this?
Yeah, the maximum is in here.
Which page is that?
That is on E on the very last page, or page 506, number 2E there. Parking lot lighting shall have a maximum illumination of 4 foot candles as measured on the pavement.
What does that mean, 4 foot candles?
It's a, James could probably answer that question a whole lot better than me. He's a lighting expert.
I don't know.
It's an illumination measure, so. When we receive a lighting plan, There'll be, it looks kind of like a topographic map where you see concentric rings.
Mm-hmm.
And within each of those rings is a foot candle measurement. And that shows how bright it is. And that's measured with those numbers of foot candles.
When you buy the lights, it has diagrams of how far out it reaches.
Okay.
And 4 foot candles is always, you know, that's standard.
Okay. So that's a illumination, but like if you have, like at QC, they don't have a maximum or a minimum that they have to have. It's just they decide how many lights they're going to have for the parking lot.
Yeah. And previously, we did have that minimum, the minimum foot candle on the pavement of 0.1 foot candles. That's what we're planning to get rid of. The maximum is not actually changing here. The maximum has been 4, and we're keeping it at 4.
Okay.
And I think the idea is that a minimum is, since we're talking about commercial builds here, your business is a 101, get too dark. Right? In other words, mm-hmm. the city can step in and say, it's a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a business owner's a 101 lit up.
Particularly if it's like the back parking lot.
Right, right. So here there isn't
there. For sure. Yeah.
And for their employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have anything else for your introduction?
No, I think that's probably it.
Okay, before we get into full commission discussion, deliberation, questions, this is set for a public hearing, so I will open the public hearing for tonight. I don't see any members of the public, and we are on time, so I am going to also close the public hearing at this time, seeing no members of the public. If somebody does happen to show up, we can reopen and take whatever comment they may have. Mike, procedurally, any issues with that?
No, that's perfect.
Okay, so now it's an opportunity for commissioners to ask questions, make comments, and if we're so inclined, take action tonight based on what we've seen and heard. Anybody have any questions?
I have a question, just a suggestion on kind of a somewhat minor on the section 18.40.090. It's on page 606, architectural accent lighting, about halfway down.
Mm-hmm.
D. It says flags of the U.S. or Washington State may be illuminated from below, provided such lighting. And so I'm just wondering if, like, maybe it could say something more like all flags, for example, flags of the U.S. or Washington State. I'm thinking about like flags of other origin or like Seahawk flags. I don't know. And it may not be. I mean, it's a pretty minor thing.
I want to say there's a regulation about the state and
yes, US those are supposed to be illuminated at night.
Right.
If they're
or taken down.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't know if would you want the other flags to be lit? That's a question, right? Like overnight. So the Seahawks flag, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the code here is saying the US and state because there is that regulation anyway, but would you want a Seahawks flag lit up throughout the night and across the business, right?
Right.
So then, to clarify, that would be discretionary for the business if they wanted to illuminate a Seahawk flag.
Well, but that brings a question: should there be a line in the code that says you can light it up?
Yeah. So
right.
To clarify, these are development regulations. This is what we're reviewing when something is first developed or
right.
something that triggers a permit.
Right.
It's not so much a use regulation. So if a resident, for example, wanted mm-hmm. to illuminate their flag,
mm-hmm.
that's up to them. That wouldn't fall under the development regulations.
Okay. Well, but so on the commercial lines, though, I'll just use Boeing as an example. And I know other companies do the same thing. Big Seahawk flags,
mm-hmm.
12 flags, and generally they do illuminate them. But I think that's a Boeing decision to do that as
mm-hmm.
part of the display of the flag.
Yeah.
It's not compelled by any local jurisdiction or code. So are we suggesting that we want to allow that business discretion if they want to display
any flag
and choose to illuminate it or not illuminate it. Does that matter from our regulatory standpoint?
Yeah, the purpose of the regulations, again, is to prevent impacts to others. So
right.
Glare, night sky.
So as long as they fit that guideline, it's truly discretionary. The code doesn't say anything one way or the other, right?
Well, right now it talks about, and this is again a development regulation, so if they're creating a flagpole that
right.
is a part of the site plan review that we're reviewing, we want to know that the principal intent here is to make sure the lights are pointed at the flag and not just some kind of all-around uplighting.
No, just the balls.
So I think that there's still a question there in my mind. Here we're spelling out the U.S. and Washington state flag specifically,
yeah.
not other flags. So along our lines, that would be, we need to have a line saying all flags may be illuminated. You're not stopping it, you're not saying it has to happen, but if you have any kind of flags, it needs to be focused, right?
Mm-hmm. So we could change that. Flags, comma, including the United States
or
Washington area.
Because mm-hmm. there's already regulations making use, like the U.S. and Washington, you don't have to say, you don't have to start.
Is everybody okay with that proposed change to the wording?
Yeah. Do we have any discretion on what type of flag? I mean, this, I don't take a Confederate flag. I'm not a Confederate, but is that something, do we have to spell out what you can do? Can it be a Seahawk team, or can it be a sports
no.
team, it doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't. I mean, these are, again, the lighting regulations, so we're just looking at the fixture, not the flag itself.
Okay.
Any other questions?
So, yeah, there's rules, or whatever you want to call them. So during the development process, they follow these rules, and they put their stuff up. As time goes on, is there, like, building code people that go around and go, hey, this isn't...
We do occasionally deal with that, because... That often happens where a business will put up lights later on that
mm-hmm.
are not being compliant.
Yeah,
or
somebody. Yeah.
So we do go back, but because that is new lighting, that mm-hmm. we can say this applies to that.
Okay, I was just curious.
Any others?
I've got quite a few things, but it's all just comments on grammatical things. So if there's any other questions.
Go ahead.
Okay. So 18.4.020, after the resolution, page 1. Item A, section A, item 1. Is there, I've just said for ease, do we want to change LDR, CLDR, CR, HDR to residential?
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Just so that in case those change names at some point, we don't have to.
Yeah, perfect.
Same section, item B, or item 3, I should say, and the rest of the section, really. I think that might be better served, item 3, item B, C, and D, all as its own section, since those are all where they do not apply versus where they do apply.
I'm sorry, go back again.
So, item 3 under A,
okay.
And then after that, items B, C, and D are all... where the lighting plan shall not be required.
Okay.
So I'm thinking more like A would be items 1 and 2, and then B would be some titled something like, are you with me? A lighting
I'm trying
plan.
To look where A is.
Yeah,
up here. Okay, yeah.
So item A, 1 and 2 stays the same.
Okay.
3 becomes item B, subsection 1. And,
okay, and then
B is a lighting plan shall not be required for projects as follows.
Okay, yeah.
And then B, C, and D below would become 2, 3, 4 under section B.
Yeah. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Great suggestions.
Uh, E would be a tilde.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that maybe becomes C.
Okay.
Right. Going back to item three, current A3, the red line stuff, where it says equivalent to 100 watt incandescent bulb, do you want to put an LED equivalent there too?
Sure. I don't know.
I don't know either. Off the top of my head, but I think that'd be handy to have an LED equivalent as well, since most people are moving away from incandescent anyway.
Okay.
Page 1840.050. Item A. I had a question about it. It seems I try to wrap my head around the idea of something that's no taller than 15 feet, but then over a 17 foot maximum.
It's a pole.
It's a base.
Yeah, I'll size you out your light pole like that, and then the arm comes up above that.
Sure. So could it be simplified by just saying a maximum of 17 feet above final grade? Then you don't need to say anything about the pole.
Lighting fixtures, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only reason I say that is because some lighting poles are, it could create some confusion because some lighting poles are direct bearing without a base.
Okay.
So they would be a 17, 18 foot tall pole with 3 feet buried, right?
Yeah.
So just by saying a maximum 17 feet above final grade, clarifies
yeah.
that a little
okay.
bit. So skipping down one section to 060, open air parking lot lighting, item D. D1 is a duplication of that last one I just changed. Is there any reason for item D1 in that section if you're already saying that in A of 0.50?
No, that's great. Yeah, we can get rid of that.
Well, the 5.0 is lighting standards for uses within 50 feet of residential zone.
And D1 is saying that maximum permissible lighting height within 50 feet of residential zoning districts.
Right.
So it's brief, it's still referencing the same code.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Am I reading that right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say strike it, but then you have to kind of question what D2 would be.
Well, so, and maybe it's just semantics, but the D is talking specifically about open air parking lot lighting, which
right.
I don't know if that needs to be distinguished from any other kind of lighting. If not, then yes, it seems like it's covered in item A.
I think you still have to have D2. A maximum height in that case.
Okay.
So that's where D would probably have to kind of be rewritten, maybe instead of having in a subsection 2 saying that in the case of open air parking lot lighting, they have a maximum of 27 feet.
Yeah.
Because if it's within the 50 foot residential zone, that item A above already handles that.
So spell it out differently for the open air parking
yeah.
lighting. Yeah.
I mean, if a duplication is not a big deal, if a duplication is not a big deal, but it is a duplication.
The difference, I think, is open air parking lot lighting is your whole mount lighting,
yeah.
whereas lighting under 050 could be all lighting, so
right.
building mounted lighting.
Right. But is it covered anyway? But because it's all lighting, it includes your open air parking lot lighting?
I think what I would be concerned about is if I'm only focused on open air parking lot lighting, I may not look at 50. Because I'm focused on the open air one. And I might miss that part because I didn't go up to 50. I stayed at 60 because I was looking at open air parking lot lighting.
Yeah.
Well, but I think it seems like the difference is pole versus other mounting methods, like building mounting. And if those need to be distinguished separately.
Mm-hmm. I think we have another section on that.
Okay.
So we have the building mounted lighting under general requirements. It doesn't talk about a maximum mounting height though.
So if A didn't say poles, then there's probably no distinction between the two. One covers the other. But I think when we say poles in one and the other says...
but we're striking the poles with the suggestion in the first though.
Yeah.
It becomes just fixtures and 17 maximum.
So that would be just one.
Yeah.
Covers.
Cover both.
So we don't need to specify the second one.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you okay with that one?
I'm not sure
I guess it's good. So, we struck at the bottom of page 4, that very last provision, number 1, because it's duplicating A as amended.
Yeah, so A's being amended to not say poles anymore anyway. It's just going to say the fixture can't be more than 17 feet.
Okay, so fixture shall be... maximum
17 feet. Oh, that's not great, yeah.
So whether it's on a pole or a building doesn't really matter.
Right.
The following mounting height regulations shall apply to open air parking lot lighting. Maximum permissible mounting height of open air parking lot lighting within 50 feet of residential zoning shall be 17 feet.
I think that's what we're talking about, eliminating entirely.
Yeah, and then I'll just reword the numbering or the format there, because you don't want just to have, the following applies just number 1.
I think D becomes 2.
Yeah.
In some way, you're saying in an open air parking lot lighting case, the maximum permissible mounting height would be 27 feet.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then my last comment was page 5, 1840.080, lighting up outdoor performance, sport, and recreation facilities.
080?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Item A, why the 5% increase? Shall not exceed by more than 5% the standard. Sarah, do you know why there's a 5% versus just saying you have to stick to the standard?
No. No, I think just sticking with the standard would probably be better.
I don't know what the standard is. I didn't look that up. But that just struck me as why go more than what the standard is in the first place.
So not exceed the published standards.
Yeah.
So what is the Illuminating Engineering Society of North America published standards?
For sports and recreational fields, I guess. Standards that apply to that.
Okay. And so we're saying not exceed by more than 5%. So
my question is why you exceed the first place? Just not sitting standard.
I don't know, is it like driving down the highway and you're not exactly at 50 miles an hour? You might be 51 and do you want to, is that, I'm just wondering, is that the reasoning? Is it you can't be precise in sport performing? That's why they're
I honestly don't know. I haven't had experience with this.
Yeah, and I don't know either. I think maybe that's worth looking into.
Yeah,
if there's a reason why 5% is there versus just striking it. If it's a recommendation and there isn't a set number, then 5% would make sense, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we are actually going to have to apply this soon. We have the new Snoqualmie Valley Athletic Center proposal that's coming, and we'll be looking at their lighting.
So, yeah,
I'm going to assume, and I'm no expert by any means, that they're striving for some level of conformity for outdoor sports. So if you're playing outdoor tennis or baseball under the lights in one stadium and you go to another stadium, the conditions are relatively close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would assume that at some point someone said, well, can I get a little, 5% more than that, whatever that standard is? And it got written that way to allow a certain situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whether or not that's what's still relevant is
something
else. There are multiple reasons why there's this kind of variable. Maybe lighting when they wrote this wasn't accurate, like
yeah.
you couldn't measure it as well, so they gave it a little,
right.
little room.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay. Probably allows for some degradation in the light itself over right. some period of time
sure.
before it goes out and has to be replaced.
Yeah.
So, okay. Good suggestions. Any other questions, suggestions?
I had one last suggestion, and I know the purpose of these amendments was to, one of them was to add illustrations of permitted and prohibited lighting direction, helping to make communication and understanding the provisions easier. And you get the, there are some zoomed in views of these kind of pole mounted fixtures. Mm-hmm. And since I'm a visual person, I thought it could help. And I found some, like a this sort of checklist of accent lighting from the Bainbridge Island Municipal Code that got passed on October 22nd of 2019. But it's got this kind of zoomed out of like the light path of on a building or off the wall. Anyways, like this kind of visual checklist helped me understand the
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Can I take a look at that?
Yeah.
So I think the intent, and correct me if I'm wrong, is whether it's this visual reference or something else,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
to improve, provide more of a visual reference of mm-hmm. some of these examples and citations.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have to be careful with it in that you can see the language on these that I added. About this is the source and this is for illustration purposes only. And it's not intended to endorse or prohibit particular lighting manufacturers.
Yeah.
Because I grabbed those from the internet from those websites, but I wanted to cite them properly.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be careful that I'm not running afoul with some kind of trademark infringement with illustrations, particularly I think if it's drawn.
Right.
And then it's somebody's personal product.
So is that something you could look into and see what options might be available to improve the kind of visual references, graphics, illustrations?
If you have a particular standard that you feel like should be illustrated more, let me know. That way, I don't want to be just kind of grasping at straws of
right.
what should I be working on.
Okay. Aside from this example, I can provide.
Yeah. This one, I don't know that it would necessarily correlate with our standards.
Right, and then
because we do allow uplighting if it's directed at.
And there aren't a lot of, I mean, we're in a pretty flat valley, so that is scarpment. I mean, there are some walls and things that the light might reflect off of, but it's
I definitely. I totally agree with the concept, though. I think the more we can go visual with the code, it's much better.
Cool. Anybody else? So, Mike, would you mind just looking through your notes and kind of recapping what you think the edits are, and then we'll see where we go from here.
Okay. So, starting from the first page under 1840.020.31, changing those specific residential zones just to say adjacent to property zone residential, and then revising the format there to be have a new B, lighting plan shall not be required as follows, and then number 3 becomes B1, B becomes B2, C becomes B3, D becomes B4, E becomes a new section C. And then the next standard, 18.40.050 on page 4, lighting fixtures shall be installed at a maximum of 17 feet above the grade of the area to be lit. And jumping down 1840.060.D1, we're striking. And then last page, we'll look into the 5% to understand that. What does that come from? What does it mean? 1840.090D flags such as the United States or Washington State flag may be eliminated, etc.
James, does that sound like?
I don't really want to add.
Okay.
Just adding a word. 40.505.50 lighting standards for uses within 50 feet of residential zones. I have this page for it. No one there.
No.
Item section B. I wondered if we wanted to include the teleport fixture. So lighting fixtures shall be aimed and shielded in a manner that the fixture shall not direct illumination. That sounds rather weird to me.
Okay.
If it was just even.
Lighting fixtures shall be aimed and shielded in a manner such that the fixture does not direct.
It doesn't say such that.
That shall not direct.
So read it how you got
that. I have it as lighting fixtures shall be aimed. So the way it was lighting fixtures shall be aimed and shielded in a manner that shall not direct illumination on adjacent residential zones. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that should say lighting fixtures shall be aimed and shielded in a manner that the fixture shall not direct illumination. Okay.
Yeah, that's
it didn't make sense to me. I'm not the only one there. The way it was written before, without not having fixture in there for the second.
Yeah.
Either way works for me.
Yeah. Either way. So that changed. That changed me. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Any objection, commissioners? For okay. Any other final ones?
So you change the lighting poles on A to be fixtures shall be installed on a maximum height of 17 feet above the grade of the area to be lit. Is that true for, like, I mean, I get it for a lighting pole, but now you've got a fixture. Now, if you have a three-story building and you want to have a lighting there, now it's not going to be able to be installed because that's too high, or is that?
That's right, if you're within the 50 feet of a residential zone.
Okay, so, all right, so that's going to be, that would hold true for anything, not just lighting poles.
Yeah, because we're talking about fixtures, so.
The colorway wasn't formally
violated. I wanted to make a clarification that we didn't change something that somewhere else was saying that you could do it, not just a lighting pole. So, okay.
Okay, so procedurally, because this is a public hearing item, I don't think it can come back on the consent agenda.
No, it could.
Well, because I think if we do it that way, we're kind of silent on the summary findings and sort of the record for the decision.
No, you'll, at the next meeting, you'll have the final report that will reflect that there was no comment received.
Right.
And you'll see the full edits.
Yeah.
We may not want to come back to consent, though, because there's an open question still about the 5% issue. For
okay.
The field light.
Okay.
So we just put it on regular agenda.
I think so. I think so. All right. So do we need a motion tonight, then, just to direct staff to amend the ordinance to include the edits?
If you want to, otherwise,
you'll just do it.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
Because normally, would the motion be to stop the deliberation, which we don't want to do, right? Because we still want people to talk about the 5%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we wouldn't want to close the discussion.
We don't want to close the discussion. And then, typically, at least from my experience, somebody who was in support of the motion, doesn't have to be the maker of the motion or the second, would go on the record with stating either the summary findings or findings of fact, so that it's actually entered onto the record. It's not just included in the ordinance, but it kind of gets out there the reason that we're voting yes.
We haven't historically done it that way, but that's probably a good idea.
I mean, I don't want to bog us down in a bunch of procedural matters. I just know from my experience, the city attorneys have typically said, make sure you build your record.
Yeah.
Just in case something gets challenged.
So we've got the written record in the staff report, and we'll flesh that out a little bit more through your next meeting.
I guess the point was, if for those supporting the motion, somebody actually states why this motion should be approved.
Okay.
It could be a reading verbatim from the findings of fact, or it could be
as articulated
in the findings of fact, but it at least creates that record that the findings of fact were something, not just the kind of wordsmithing that we've
minor.
So anyway, just a thought. Okay. All right. Well, if there's nothing else on that, that actually concludes our commission agenda for tonight.
Yeah, I did want to talk about the upcoming meeting.
Yep.
So March 12th would be our next regular meeting. And we were talking earlier today about upcoming agenda items. And originally, March 12th was going to be the introduction of our floodplain regulations, which is going to be a larger amendment. FEMA has updated some of the flood mapping, and we have to adopt that. And there's a number of other things regarding conformance to provisions from the biological opinion relating to endangered species as applied to the National Flood Insurance Program that we'll have to adopt. So that's coming, but we're waiting for a response from FEMA on some of those issues that it's taken longer to hear back from them than what we anticipated. So we had to push that out, which leaves a little bit of a hole on March 12th. And we had planned to present this urban growth capacity analysis and our targets for our comp plan update. That by itself is not a huge agenda item, so we were thinking maybe we could, if at your discretion, we could cancel that March 12th meeting and bump both the urban growth capacity targets and then the other following item, which is actually introduction of our amendments to our parking standards, to that next meeting. The flood regulations we're actually anticipating we're going to need probably another month before we get back from FEMA and resolve that communication before it's ready to go through the process. So if you'd like, you could cancel March 12th and just go to the second meeting in March for your next meeting.
Is there any objection to that?
That would be that presentation, that urban growth capacity analysis presentation, and then also introduction of parking regulations.
Okay. So the next regular meeting is
26th.
You don't anticipate the results from FEMA for this?
Probably not.
Right.
Okay. Well, if there's no objection, why don't we plan on that? We'll cancel March 12th. And we'll just combine those agenda items for March 26th.
Yeah.
I won't be here on March 26th. I'll be on a plane. Come back from Arizona. So it's March 26th?
Yeah. All right. Any commissioners, anything else for the good of the order? Questions, suggestions, comments, concerns? Mike, anything from staff?
No.
All right. Well, so I think we've covered everything. A motion to adjourn tonight's meeting would be in order.
Motion to adjourn.
It's been moved to adjourn tonight's meeting by Commissioner Bush. Is there a second?
Thanks.
Seconded by Commissioner Torgerson. All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, everybody. We are adjourned.
Thank you.